Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember, you can always listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. Now today we are welcoming Lisa Livesey to our show. Lisa is an author, a devotional writer, and an essayist who contributes to the National Catholic Register and Guidepost publications. She publishes weekly 1-minute photo devotions of lisalivesey.com, which are enjoyed worldwide by Visio Divina prayer groups. She also serves on the executive team at the Unbound Heart of the Father Ministries. And she has 5 amazing children and 8 grandchildren. And she's here to speak with us today about a beautiful book that she has written called Minding Mom, a caregiver's devotional story, and how caregivers can find encouragement and hope in knowing God will always take care of those who give care unto others. It was a beautiful book. It's a great read. And if you're that person out there and you are being the caregiver, one of the worst things that happens to caregivers is there's no self-care for themselves. And they're just giving themselves away, whether it's their spouse, whether it's their parents, whether it's a child, maybe you have an ailing child. And so it's ways of beautiful spiritual reflection, emotional encouragement. You kind of get buoyed up. It's kind of like, 'cause sometimes you feel all alone, that no one is going through what you're going through. Yeah. And not only that, but nobody cares. But God always cares. And so this is a beautiful book that you'll love if you're being a caregiver. If you know someone who you know, you've spoken into their lives, you try to encourage them, you try to aid them and assist them, this book is a great read to help them.
Pray that this is going to be a great blessing to so many of you. I know it will be, and as Joy said, the book is outstanding. Her sharings, her story, her reflections are just really excellent. You're going to find some accompaniment today when Lisa shares with you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Lisa Livesey, and she is the author of Minding Mom, a caregiver's devotional story. Go out to our website at lisalivesey.com. Well, Lisa, we are so excited to have you today. We both enjoyed your book and your great love and your care and your devotion to your own mother and your father on their journey. So we want you first to tell our family a little bit about Lisa, where you're from and what God is doing in your life, and then why we wrote this beautiful book.
Oh, well, I'm from the Philly suburbs, and God's always doing amazing things in all of our lives, through the everyday and through the big story. But I'm married to my wonderful husband, David. We have 5 children, and we have 8 grandchildren, so excited about them. Yes. The setting of my book was the year 2017, and at that point, we had 4 children living at home. 2 of our children were in their 20s and graduated college and working, and then I had an 11th grader and a 4th grader. Mm-hmm. And my parents lived a mile away from us in the family home, and they were wonderful Christian people. My dad was a helicopter engineer. He designed the wing stow mechanism for the V-22 Osprey, so he was a very smart at what he did, and my mom had been a registered nurse, and they were both retired in their early 80s, volunteering in church and wonderful setting. They volunteered at an inner city Christian school, and but my mom had been slipping into Alzheimer's, and so we didn't realize quite how much my dad was doing. We knew that he was managing her care, but he really kept her oriented. And so Dad was singing in the choir on a Sunday, and on Monday he went to the hospital and he passed away the following Sunday. Mm. So it was a huge shock to all of us, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. So the book kind of came about because that began a year of very intense caregiving that lasted exactly 365 days. Mm. And in that time, there were ordinary things that happened, extraordinary things that happened. But when my season of caregiving ended at that point, I'm a writer. As writers, we write about our lives and things. And I'd started contributing to a caregiver's devotional. And in devotions, when you read the devotions, they're usually standalone pieces. But I would hear from some of my readers that were really in the trenches of caregiving, and I realized that I had a story to share with them, a start to finish story. Yeah. So I decided to put my story into a devotional form. So my book has 52 devotions in it, and it spans the year. There's by the seasons. My dad passed away in the fall, so there's unexpected fall, weathering winter, eternal spring, mm-hmm. summer days, D-A-Z-E, mm-hmm. and then the final season. And then within each one of those portions, there's individual vignettes of what happened in that. And my hope is that caregivers that are out there that are feeling unseen, are feeling like they're really in the trenches, can know that maybe, you know, not everybody is ignoring them, or when it's the holidays and the weekends and they're still doing what they're doing and everybody else is kind of living their life, somebody is there maybe praying for them and caring.
Mm-hmm. Well, it came upon you, like you said, your dad had a fall.
Right.
And then he had asked you to make sure, keep your mom home as long as he possibly could, right?
Well, what had happened was my dad and I had actually looked at an investment property together a couple years earlier. We never ended up doing it, but it was a fourplex kind of in our neighborhood. And the idea was we were thinking that maybe dad would live there after mom passed away in one of the apartments. And so it was something that brought up a conversation that we'd never had. And I thought, what if dad dies first? So I had said it to him at that point. I said, well, what if you die first? What would you like me to do? And he said, keep mom home where she's comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, that was a gift, that conversation. And God went before me quite often with things like that conversation, because it was something that I could hang on to mm-hmm. when I was trying to figure out what to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And from reading the book, I mean, your sense was that your dad would have this under control, because you know he's yeah. smart, he's strong, he's healthier than her
yep.
experiencing Alzheimer's. So it was really like, you know, we'll just all support him.
Yeah.
You know, that saying, tell God your plans or your thoughts if you want to hear him laugh.
Right.
And so he takes yeah. his fall, yeah. and then, you know, you're together as he's declining dramatically. And he's mm-hmm. looking at you with a double sadness, I guess, over his wife, but for you, because he's saying, like, you know, we were talking about, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, keep her at home. That's a lot.
Very poignant moment. And I remember at the hospital, you know, he went in on a Monday and he passed away on the Sunday, and it was Saturday night. And I figured he was probably going to be passing away the next day. And we're up on the sixth floor of the hospital. It's the hospice floor. Mm-hmm. And they're so kind. They bring in cots. So one of my sons was there and my younger brother, and everyone's sleeping. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, you know, I could use some fresh air. I've been in the hospital all week. So I thought, I'll just take a walk around the block. So I go down the hospital elevator and outside, go to the corner store and grab some coffee, you know, and I'm walking around the block and I'm crying. I'm just like, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my mom? You know, I'm in charge of her care. I have a very full life. My 11th grader and my fourth grader were homeschooled.
Right.
I outsourced a lot of things, but I was really there with them. So as I rounded the corner, I'm walking up Main Street, and all of a sudden, in front of me at 2 o'clock in the morning, is this bright sign. And it says, fear not, I am the one who helps you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this isn't real.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture of it just to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
That's in your book.
And I kept mm-hmm. it on my phone as my wallpaper all year long, so mm-hmm. that every time I looked, I knew God had, he didn't just like give me a sign. He gave me a sign, mm-hmm. a real sign,
yeah. yeah.
that he was going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such an encouragement yeah. to me in that year.
Yeah, that's a real nice touch of the book. I think you yeah. got like 7 pages of images and pictures.
Yeah.
And then I finally, you know, got that you have the chapter number by the picture. So you mm-hmm. can go back
right.
to that chapter and you connect it together.
Yeah.
So you're not only, you know, reading about this and trying to picture things, but you got actual pictures.
Yeah.
So you're sharing through the gate of the eye, you know, what
Absolutely.
You were talking about. And that was really,
Absolutely.
Really wonderful.
And the beautiful thing about that journey is God is always speaking to us, mm-hmm. and we're just not paying attention, right? We're not looking
so
up.
True.
We're not listening, mm-hmm. Because sometimes we can become so burdened mm-hmm. just with the task itself.
That's true.
Right? Like you had to manage the hours, all the hours mm-hmm. of the day.
Yeah.
Like who is going to care for her? How is it going to be? Am I going to bring in outside help? And that's a burden and a blessing,
yeah.
you know? And so it's that balance of being the caregiver mm-hmm. where you're trying to manage and take on and love and care. And then it's in your house where you were raised, right? And so
yeah,
that was a lot.
Home. It was in the family home. They were still in the family home, which was a mile from our home. But that was a blessing in a lot of ways because I was close by.
Mm-hmm.
So it did make it easier to run over there and to just back and forth. So that if there was someone there with mom and something came up, which things mm-hmm. came up quite mm-hmm. often. But, you know, God is in it and he shows us he's in it. And many times when we look back, we think, oh, wow, that happened. Like my oldest daughter lives overseas. And at that time she was in town. She had come here to have her third child. And mm-hmm. she'd actually had her baby in one of the rooms in
yeah.
my parents' house. And it was exactly a month before dad passed. And so, but I was given this beautiful moment with my parents mm-hmm. where I was, like God's grace was able to play doula for my daughter. Mm-hmm. So I was there and little Samuel was born. And so then I left the room to go tell my parents. And when I went out of the door and shut it behind me, there they were together in the hall, clinging to each other, just like waiting for the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to them and we just kind of had this group hug together and just cried a little bit. And I said, it's a boy, it's Samuel. And
oh.
But it was this beautiful moment of the three of us hugging each other. And I had no idea that in a month everything was going to change.
Right.
But that moment was a gift from God.
A pure mm-hmm. gift from God
mm-hmm.
and a deliverance of life.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, I mean,
yes.
you did life and death in that house, right? As many houses do, right?
Yes.
And for the people, our family, that home, that's what happens in our houses. Our
happens.
Loved ones fall
that's
out of our
happens.
Arms. They die and
mm-hmm.
children are birthed at home. I mean, those are the beautiful passages
yeah.
of life and love and death that we yeah. get to participate in with the sacredness of right. God so near.
And those are the hallmarks, I think, of the caregiving, are those moments. But then the day-to-day is really, can be tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It's very ordinary. You know, they're called ADLs, activities of daily living. And
mm-hmm.
they're all the things that we do all the time that we don't think about. And then all of a sudden, our loved one can't really do them. You
mm-hmm.
know, my mom was really pretty physically able, but she just needed direction. So, you know, get up, brush your teeth, use the bathroom, take a shower, get
mm-hmm.
dressed,
mm-hmm.
eat some breakfast. Mom could eat, but she needed somebody to cook the meal for her. She grocery shopping, the grocery list, bringing the groceries in from the car, paying bills. There are so many things. And then when you're adding it on top of what you're already doing in
right.
your own life, it's a lot. And yet, I think God is still there in it. It's a corporal work of mercy.
Mm.
It's a corporal work of mercy. And mercy, my favorite definition of mercy, is God's loving response to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're extending the love of God to our loved one, that loving response to their suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But in it, you know, we're suffering in a way because
yeah.
it's a hard walk. And so my prayer for caregivers that are listening is to know that God loves them too. He
mm-hmm.
has mercy on us. You're showing mercy to the person they love. He's showing them mercy. and then you have to be able to laugh sometimes.
Totally.
I mean, you know, and funny things happen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
my mom was very mobile. And so I was in the kitchen one morning just like making breakfast and I hear this thumping, thump, thump. And I'm like, what's that? And she comes around the corner and she says, did you hear that? I just fell down the stairs.
Oh gosh.
And I'm thinking, this is crazy. She's in her 80s and she's laughing. She fell down the stairs, got up
mm-hmm.
and came around to tell
mm-hmm.
me. But that was one of the things that happened for me that was kind of on an ordinary day and
mm-hmm.
you just kind of laugh, you
right.
know, but then there's extraordinary things that happen. Like
mm-hmm.
I just told you about the sign from God, or I had this amazing moment happen in an adoration chapel where You know, as my husband and I had been Catholic for a few years at that point, and so I'd learned about adoration, which is just such a mm-hmm. gift in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church. And I live in the Philly area. There's adoration chapels all around. I could tell you, I could already have told you even before my dad passed, like where they were, what their hours were, mm-hmm. because they were such resources. Yeah. And there was one particular chapel I went to a lot. I frequented this place, and there was an older woman in there who just was in there a lot. And she, one day, 4 days before my dad passed away, she came over and gave me some papers mm-hmm. and said, I feel like you're supposed to have these. And I looked down and it said, Novena of Surrender to the Will of God. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, I feel so blessed. She singled me out. So I started doing it. And then dad passed away and I completely forgot about the Novena of Surrender mm-hmm. to the Will of God. You know, at the end of each prayer, it's, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you.
Take care of everything.
And you repeat that. And about a month later, I came across those papers mm-hmm. and I realized that God knew what was about mm-hmm. to happen. And the Holy Spirit prompted that woman to give yeah. me those papers. That was extraordinary. Yeah. So there's extraordinary things we hold on to amidst those ordinary days that we know God's there mm-hmm. helping us.
What a mix. Yeah. Mix of realities, you yeah. know. It's the worst of times and it's the best of times. Yeah. And it's the funniest of times.
I know, that's true.
You know, so you really come into a way of life that only that time can bring. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just says, whether it's at that time or later on, you know, that life does triumph over death, mm-hmm. you know. And the agony of the cross, of the loved one, the agony that you go through, mm-hmm. you know, gives way to resurrection and to hope. So if somebody says that to you at the time, it's kind of like, you know, you don't know if you can hear it, but right. you're really saying all this is mixed in. I think people that are trying to be caregivers get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes when you're in it, you really can't see the forest for the trees, but then afterwards you can look back
right.
and see, you know, I mean, God went before me. He had beautiful things in place for me. There was a friend of my parents, Miriam, from her church, who was a professional caregiver, and she had already been helping my mother-in-law some the spring prior, and my dad had her help a little bit, but she was already in place, and she taught me to, like, said, keep a logbook of what's going on. She mm-hmm. bought thick waterproof pads for my mom's bed. All these things that are very practical, but I needed a little bit of coaching
sure.
with that. I had a good friend from church, Joanne. We used to walk together once a week, and it was the week before my dad went in the hospital, and she said, Lisa, I need a new job. My job's ending in 2 months. I think I'd like to get into caregiving. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, Joanne, you'd be so good at that, you know? So before we parted that day, I gave her a hug, and I remember praying, Lord, just give Joanne just the person who needs her. Well, guess who that person was? It was my own mother.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But as I think back on that, I knew God was in that, mm-hmm. and it yeah. was beautiful.
Providence is real. Mm-hmm. You know, God's engaged.
Yes.
And I love that saying. We're going to say this again and again. Fear not, I am the one mm-hmm. that helps you. And hope that all of our people in this situation now would hear that word from the Lord. Fear not, I am the one that helps you. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. The book again is Minding Mom, A Caregiver's Devotional Story, EWTNRC.com. Such an important work, maybe an answer to your prayer that you can get this book and just say, hey, this person really gets what's going on here, and I feel accompaniment in what I'm doing. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're wrapping up our beautiful conversation with Lisa. Now, Lisa, you're a convert to the Catholic Church mm-hmm. for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So what ways was the Catholic Church helpful to you on this part of your journey?
Well, my congregation, I came into the Catholic Church through the Anglican Ordinariate, mm-hmm. which is a newer, small part of the Catholic Church. So a lot of us had gone on this journey together. And so we were a very close congregation, small parish, and we're close. And just knowing that they were supporting me, my priest, he had actually seen to his own mother's care, so he was very supportive and encouraging to me, and just my friends there. So I would try to get to my parish on Sunday as much as I possibly could, just for that, because it grounded me. And then towards the end of the time, I started bringing my mom with me, and I do talk about that in one of the devotions. But early on, I tried to keep her life as much the same as it had been. And so she went to a Presbyterian church, so I would have an aide take her to the Presbyterian church. But my church was very supportive to me emotionally and spiritually. And then my dad, they had Catholic neighbors, these wonderful Catholic neighbors, Dee and Larry. And even before dad passed away, if there was a big snowstorm, we have a really long driveway, so it takes us a while to get out. But after we were plowed, I would call dad and say, Dee needs some help shoveling. And half the time he'd say, oh, Larry was over with his snowblower. And then Dee told me, after dad had passed away, you know how neighbors will kind of talk over the fence?
Yeah.
That she said, well, you know, your dad would be out here and we would be talking and he would say to me, pray for me. He said, I'm having a hard time. And he would say, see, look. And he would point to the window. And in the picture window, my mom would come. And she was looking for him because poor mom, her mind was muddled. And she needed dad to keep her oriented. And so if he left her side, she would get confused.
Right.
And so he really needed their support. So they were praying for him. And of course, I said adoration chapels already. But those are some of the big ways that come to mind of the way the Catholic Church was a support.
And what you share in one of your chapters that you took your mom to the Catholic Church. And tell that beautiful story.
Well, I started bringing her to church with me. And my mom wasn't anti-Catholic. And I saw my parents becoming more open over the years. But it certainly wasn't something she was really interested in. But because of Alzheimer's, sometimes dementia can be kind, because it can take away some of our edges or some of our prejudices. So she didn't even probably realize we were in a Catholic church, but we're sitting in the last row. And then all the people are lining up for communion. So she wasn't used to that. You know, she was used to getting the little plastic cup. And she's just looking at it. And then you can hear the priest saying, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body. And it was just the rhythm of that. And she just looked at it and she goes, beautiful. And so I felt like she was able to see the beauty, the beauty, truth, and goodness that was present there. It was a really wonderful moment.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Thank God we have you for tomorrow.
Thank you.
So many other stories to share that will be a great encouragement to our viewing audience.
Thank you, Jim.
So go to EWTNRC.com, Minding Mom, a caregiver's devotional guide, devotional story. And join us again tomorrow. Lisa will share more fully. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.